Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Hello, good morning, everybody. Good morning to all of those beautiful souls who will be joining us in the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood and to all of our podcast listeners. Today is one of our bonus series episodes, so the Evolution of Your Higher Self bonus series with myself and the beautiful Mel. Today is, it's actually our 5th episode, Mel, I believe. I thought it was our 4th. I think it's our 5th, yeah. So empowering relationships, nurturing connections and boundaries. In this discussion, we will be talking all about building healthy relationships, setting boundaries, and enhancing intimacy through Ayurveda and trauma-informed practices. So for those of you who may be new to the Facebook group or even to the podcast, my name is Harmony. I'm an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner and the founder of the Ayurveda Alchemist, where we run the best certification and educational programs on Ayurveda, women's health and breath work. And the wonderful Mel, over to you.
Hey everyone, I am Melissa, a trauma-informed life coach and healer, also the student success mentor at the amazing Ayurveda Alchemist, where we have so much fun, and I am the founder of the methodology of Heal to Evolve, where I walked clients through being able to heal their trauma to be able to unleash their feminine power within.
Yes, yes, you do. So, Mel, as we like to do, we would love to share our wins for the week to start the episode so off in a little bit of a high note. I know just before we jumped on, we were getting into a big D&M on the world situation at the moment with all different crazy stuff happening. So let's lighten the mood a little bit. Yes. Come online, come on the podcast, and let's lighten the mood with some of our own wins. So what's your biggest win for the week, Mel?
Oh, my biggest win is really just this morning I actually acknowledged myself, because as you know, Harmony, I have been really, really sick for the past, it's been 3 weeks that I've been quite ill. I've never been this ill in my whole life. And coming out of it and getting a little bit more energy yesterday and today and being able just to clean my house and have a look at the state of my house, because when I was sick, my house was an absolute mess. So I really just acknowledge myself of how strong my daily routines are and how I've cultivated a life where I don't feel like I'm forever cleaning and my house is just at a nice clean state, and went, fuck, like I've created this and I have amazing disciplines that I don't feel like, oh my God, I've got to clean that. I get to choose to clean. And I never realized that until I got sick for 3 weeks and haven't been able to clean my house, of like how amazing I am. So I'm just giving myself a pat on the back, because yeah, just to be able to cultivate discipline daily, it's just been, yeah, amazing for me to see.
Beautiful. So you're working on your tapas in Ayurveda. The Sanskrit word for working on that discipline is tapas, and it's one of the ethical standards that we like try to live by. So that's amazing that you've been able to point that out as well. And I know when you did first become a little bit unwell, you were like, I can't stop. Like, it's just not in your nature to stop doing all the things. I'm like, babe, you've just got to chill out. And I know that's easier said than done, because I'm exactly the same. And I'm sure a lot of other women listening can resonate with that. It is like we get so caught up in our lives and having to always do the things and be productive. And even when we get sick, we just see it as a super big inconvenience and how mm-hmm. we can actually allow ourselves to rest. So I'm really proud of you for kind of resting, eventually resting and allowing yourself to recover as well.
Yes. And what about you, Harmony? What was your greatest win for the week?
Well, my greatest win, as you know, I have completed my end of year exams. I am, for those that don't know, doing a master's degree in applied science for TCM, traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture. And I have had my end of year exam. I'm so excited. I have one more year to go. It's actually a 3-year master degree, which is one of like the longest masters, because usually a master's, you do that after you've already done an undergraduate degree. And so masters aren't generally as long, but this one has taken me 4 years because I did the first year part-time, but it's actually a 3-year one. And it's like full on. So I'm so excited. I flew to Melbourne for my exams. I finished them and I literally got back Sunday night. Here I am. It's Tuesday today whilst we're recording this, and I am done for the year. So that's my biggest win. I got through it. Yay.
I know how much you were juggling and studying and building the house and doing the kids and all the things. So this is like, let's celebrate. But I know you're really like now, oh my God, I've just come out of this massive whirlwind. But we'll celebrate maybe in a few days.
We will be. I've actually, another win is on the weekend. So on Saturday, we have the Gold Coast Girls in Business Awards night. And there were so many nominations, which was super exciting because there's so many amazing women entrepreneurs on the coast and Brisbane and all around. And the top 10 make it into the finalists. And we have made it into the finalist in 3 different categories, including my Harmony Inspired Health business, but also the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy. And so yay, we and Mel, we get to party and celebrate on Saturday together and stand up and represent the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy, and I'll be representing Harmony Inspired Health, and we will be one of the finalists in those awards. So that's another big win.
That's a huge win. Keep them coming. I love it. And I just love like these things, just going there and celebrating women, especially in business, because we know how difficult it is. So it's going to be a great night. Hopefully we won't get chased by a clown again, Harmony.
Oh my god. Yeah, we told that story, didn't we? Like, yeah, we did. Last time we went to the awards night, you'll have to listen to our previous episode, but we got basically attacked by a clown, and it has forever put a fear within us. I didn't like clowns to start with, but now I really hate clowns. So yes, we're going to be clown aware this year. But we've also got a few of our own events coming up, which is also super exciting. So Mel and I are running the Bubble and Biz events, which is for all female entrepreneurs. It is a local in-person event, so if you're anywhere around the Gold Coast, you're welcome to come. We are doing Bubble and Biz events every second month we're doing them. It's going to be so much fun. We get together, lots of connection. We always have a guest speaker come along. This time we have someone coming to speak all about personal branding or growing your brand if you want to accelerate your brand from a personal brand to more of a company as well. And we're going to have some bubbles and some nice food. So we've got that event coming up. I've also got the Goddess Retreat, the day retreat for the Ayurveda Alchemist students and alumni. So anyone who has ever enrolled in the program is coming along to this complimentary day retreat, which is going to be amazing. So if you have been thinking about signing up to the Ayurveda Alchemist program, now is the time, because in November we're having our first in-person retreat, which is completely free for those who are in the program. And back on to that, we also have the ISL Breathwork Certification Program, which is in-person learning Vedic and trauma-informed breathwork. So we've got so many different things coming up. And then, of course, Mel, do you want to share about our sacred retreat that's happening early next year? But early bird tickets are already running out. So
yes, we've got early bird tickets for our amazing sacred retreat that's going to be held in northern New South Wales. So it's going to be a two, three night event.
Three night.
It's just going to be so powerfully immersive, where we take you on a journey to really connect into your true essence, to your higher self, to be able to start healing and just embodying the Ayurvedic lifestyle and sound healing and some workshops, gorgeous nourishing food. So it is on a beautiful, beautiful location. We've got a dome out there on the property that we're going to hold all our workshops, all our healings through. It's going to be a really good connection, but it's going to be very, very limited spots because we wanted to make it really intimate and very spend a lot of time with the people that are there to connect and have that transformation. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be the first week of March. And like Harmony said, early bird tickets are now available, but we'll be closing soon. So I'm really excited for this one.
Yes. And on that, building connections and boundaries and relationships, let's dive into our juicy episode
today. So I want to start off by asking you, Harmony, how can Ayurveda's understanding of an individual constitution or the doshas help us be able to communicate more effectively and compassionately within our relationships?
This is a great question. And I'm sure anybody who has listened to my podcast before or worked with me know that understanding your bioconstitution, so your individual bioconstitution, is so important for so many things. But being able to understand your individual constitution, also known as your dosha, can significantly enhance our ability to communicate effectively and compassionately in relationships. And I guess, like, here are some of the reasons how and why. So first of all, when we understand our own unique constitution, we cultivate more self-awareness. And Ayurveda encourages individuals to understand their self on that deeper level. And this self-awareness is crucial because it helps us to recognize our natural tendencies in communication styles. For example, a Pitta dominant person, they might have a really fiery temperament, leading to direct and assertive communication. But understanding this, it can prevent those miscommunications with partners or loved ones who may have different communication styles, because we know in relationships, the way we communicate can be like an explosive bomb for some arguments, right? But it can also be a really good way to pacify if we can understand where those tendencies are coming from. The other way is understanding others. When we can grasp our own dosha, Ayurveda will also guide us in recognizing the doshas of those around us and those who we're in relationships with. And when we talk relationships, I mean like your partner, your children, your boss, your colleagues, your friends. This awareness allows us to better understand their communication preferences and tendencies. So for instance, if we know that we have a friend who is very Vata dominant, they may appreciate more of a gentle and nurturing communication style, whereas a Kapha individual might respond well to more patience and encouragement. I know when people are communicating with me, if they're communicating really slowly and don't get to the point quickly, I'm like, I get frustrated because my Vata in me is like, just like, let me know, you know, give it to me quick and brief. Also, by balancing interaction. So Ayurveda teaches us that imbalances in the doshas can lead to physical and emotional issues. So similarly, in relationships, imbalances in communication styles can lead to conflicts. So when we recognize our doshas involved, we can adapt our communication to bring more balance. So if there's a lot of, for instance, if we're getting into a heated discussion with somebody and that's quite a pitter imbalance, introducing more calm and cooling language can restore that equilibrium. So it's about bringing balance into the communication style. And then, of course, compassion and empathy. Ayurveda really emphasizes compassion and empathy as essential qualities for healing and well-being. So when we understand that different doshas have different needs and vulnerabilities, it becomes easier to approach conversations with empathy. For example, if someone's experiencing anxiety, so they're having more of like that Vata imbalance, offering reassurance and calming presence can be more effective than impatience or criticism. So I think, yeah, there's Ayurveda really helps us understand ourselves on a deeper level and our partners or anyone else who we're in any type of relationship with, and we're able to meet them in the middle when we can really understand their communication styles and their tendencies.
Yeah, I really love that. And it's not only understanding ourselves and what is out of balance, it's when we're communicating at work, when we're communicating in a meeting, at home with our kids, our partners, whatever, is to be able to see that in them, what doshas imbalance or what is their predominant dosha, and how can we respond and hold space, and how can we show up to that conversation. So that's powerful. I love that. Thanks, Harmony.
Absolutely. And it's even like I've got twin boys, and one of their communication styles and their doshas, they're very much more Vata Kapha, very more sensitive, whereas the other one's very Pitta and very direct. And so even my communication styles with them needs to shift because of their different personality traits and the way that they're going to receive the information that I'm trying to give them, and the way that they will be giving me information as well, and how I receive it. So I think it's really important to understand the individuality of everyone that we're in these relationships with. The other really important thing is boundaries. Boundaries are essential for maintaining positive interactions. So Mal, as a trauma-informed practitioner, could you provide an example of a trauma-informed technique for setting boundaries that respect both our needs and those of others?
Yeah, and I love this because, you know, I had lacked boundaries in relationships for years. And like boundaries are like, if you have a think about it, it's like an invisible fence that helps you be able to maintain healthy and respectful relationships, and for yourself as well, relationship to yourself. So in my experience, like a technique or a concept that I like to really use and think about that, it's called compassionate assertiveness. And I really struggle with this assertiveness part with it, but it's all about setting your boundaries with love and empathy and compassion. And like I said, more importantly for yourself. And when you do it for yourself, then it shows up with compassion and love and kindness when you're actually setting the boundaries. So the person in the relationship is not taking it defensively, if that makes sense. So, you know, someone with childhood trauma can subconsciously continue to pick unhealthy partners, which leads to unhealthy relationships.
He's frozen.
Where are they? Okay, so I think we just had a little bit of a net failure there, but let's see if I can get back in my zone. So I was talking about boundaries in relationships. So when we're thinking about relationships, in order to think about boundaries in relationships, we have to start thinking about what kind of relationship we are in and start identifying the relationships that we're in. So, you know, when someone has suffered quite complex childhood trauma, subconsciously what we're going to do is we're going to go and continue to pick unhealthy partners, which has unhealthy relationship, toxic relationships. And the reason why we do this subconsciously is because we're familiar with that environment. Our nervous system has adapted to be able to handle being unloved, handle being abused, handle being, you know, abandoned. So even though consciously we're like, I don't want that relationship, but subconsciously we're picking those partners. And then it's easy to fall into victim mode and go, because they left me, because they did this, and blaming our partners. So we're not really doing the inner work, and we're not setting our boundaries because we're just living in that familiar state. But when we go into we pick a healthy partner and we go into healthy relationships, that's when we seem like, for me, I was like, oh my God, I'm a crazy woman. Because I'm in a healthy relationship now, right? This is unfamiliar territory. We don't know how to receive the love. We start feeling unworthy. We start feeling guilty that, man, we're getting treated so well, and yet we're treating our partner like crap. You know, they deserve someone better than me. They're better off without me. And when we're in this, I want you guys to stop and think like, okay, I'm first identify, I'm finally in a healthy relationship, right? And in order to keep this relationship, because you are worthy of the relationship, this is an opportunity to really go in and do the inner work and start healing those wounds. Go and do that self-inquiry, right? So a quick example is a previous partner I was with for about 6 years. He constantly cheated on me. He went out. He didn't let me know where he was going. He went missing for a day or two, not telling me where he was. And we were living together at the time, you know, and this really triggered the feeling of me feeling abandoned, feeling unworthy of love. And at that core, that feeling of abandonment for me was when my father had left my mum, their relationship had left. But me as a young child, I went, oh my God, a man that leaves me, loves me, that he would leave, right? Mm-hmm. So why did I continue to choose to be in a relationship like that? Because it felt familiar, because I knew the feeling and how to deal with the abandonment, so to speak, right? My body knew how to cope with it. But when I left that relationship, and now I'm in a relationship that is absolutely amazing. And when I first got into my relationship, my current relationship that I'm in now, the first thing he said to me was, he set his boundaries, right? First thing he said to me with love and compassion was, I know you've been hurt. I know you've been treated poorly, but I am not him, and I don't want you to punish me for my mistakes. Now, that is an example of a beautiful, clear, loving, compassionate boundary where he set from day one. And that made me go, oh my God. It made me force me to put the mirror on myself. So every time that I went to go crazy at him, I went, oh shit. Like, and I did, I lost my shit. Like, how come you didn't tell me this? And why aren't you at work late? And that pitter, like Harmony, you're talking about, that pitter response that I want to fight this guy is coming out. It's that trigger response, that trigger of the wound. So I did a lot of work. I went to psychologists. I did a lot of self-inquiry. I went on my healing path. So, you know, now I set my boundary with him because I know that's a trigger. I know I don't want that feeling. And I set that boundary like, okay, if you're going to work late, if you're going to go to the pub after for a beer with the boys, can you just please call me and message me just to let me know? Because I know that if not, and I don't know where he is, that fear, that trigger of abandonment, he doesn't love me, where is he? Blah, 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 blah. All those stories are playing in my mind. But before, just to end this question, I want to make it really clear that we do not use our triggers as an excuse to blame others and stay in victim mode, right? We use the triggers to set our boundaries while we do the internal work and to continue to be able to communicate better, right? So communicating effectively to our partners on our boundaries with love and compassion and understanding is the true key. And that's how we foster clear, true boundaries when we're dealing with trauma triggers.
Absolutely. And you really can't expect someone to know what your boundaries are if you don't articulate them, if you don't set them. So we, you know, can feel upset or frustrated or, you know, why do they always do this? But if you've never articulated that that's upsetting you, or you, that's, you know, you're crossing your boundary, how do they know that, you know?
They don't know. It's like, oh, if you're wearing a jumper and you've got a bruise underneath and they go to hug you with love, But we're like, ow, I can't believe they're hurting me. They're not aware that that's there. Like you're saying, they're not aware that that triggers there. They're coming with us with love, but all we're seeing is you're hurting me. So to be able to articulate that and say, hey, you know, when you do this, this is how I feel. Would you be able to, you know, just let me know, send me a text. Can you, you know, whatever that may look like.
Yeah, and communication's the biggest key in relationships. I think that's one of, you know, the big thing for relationship breakdown. And by no means are me or Mel relationship experts. We're just speaking experience and from an Ayurvedic women's health practitioner point of view and a trauma-informed practitioner's point of view. So we haven't done relationship counselling or anything like that. But I, from my own personal experience, from, you know, witnessing my friends' relationships, communication breakdown is one of the leading causes for dispute in that relationship. Yeah. And not being able to communicate effectively is one of the hindrances for not being able to bring that relationship back into like a really beautiful holistic state. So I love the analogy you just gave about like having bruises under your jumper. If you know that person doesn't know that bruise is there and they accidentally touch it in by giving you a hug in a loving way, like that is hurting you, but you haven't told them it's there, so how do they know? So yeah, like that was a really cool analogy. Anyway, I butchered the analogy completely. I should have just left it at that, but I just like that.
I love analogies. But you know, Harmony, Ayurveda really emphasizes with the mind and the body connection, and I'm really interested to see how these principles apply to nurturing intimacy in our relationship, whether it's like romantic or platonic, or you know. So yeah, I'm really interested in to hearing about that.
So there's a few general sort of ways in which Ayurveda and the mind-body connection, and we say mind-body, but it's really mind-body-spirit connection, how that can really help nurture intimacy in our relationships. So in general, it's about the emotional balance. So Ayurveda teaches us that imbalances in the doshas, as I spoke about many times, can lead to emotional disturbances. So again, by understanding your individual constitution and that of your loved ones, we can start to recognize emotional triggers and tendencies. And this awareness allows us to respond to each other's emotional needs with greater sensitivity and just fostering that emotional intimacy. Because when we talk about intimacy, it's not all about like sex. Intimacy, there is physical intimacy, but emotional intimacy is like such, and I would like just such, I was going to say probably bigger than physical intimacy when it comes to relationships, because emotional intimacy can be part of a relationship that isn't a sexual relationship. So we have emotional intimacy with our friends. We have emotional intimacy with our family members. So it is such a big thing to understand and to master, really, in order to have that that connection with another being, another soul. Physical well-being, so that mind-body connection where we're looking at our physical well-being in relationship to our mind, body, spirit. Maintaining a physical health through proper diet and exercise and self-care, it really helps us in our relationships, because when we align with our body and really nurture it as the temple that it is, we're more likely to have the energy and the vitality and the confidence to engage fully in our relationships. Mm-hmm. And this can lead to increased physical intimacy. If you are feeling really crap about yourself, like if you're feeling really like unsexy, unworthy, whatever those feelings are, you're not going to be able to or want to hold space for physical intimacy, right? So if you can work on yourself first and your confidence within your own body, then you can have deeper physical intimacy in your relationships. Ayurveda is also huge on stress reduction. So when we can, you know, cultivate more of a stressless environment, an atmosphere, it's also really conducive to our emotional and our physical closeness that we can have with our partner. We all know, like, even for me, like, if I'm super stressed, I think men might be a little different. Like, men, when they're really stressed, they want that physical intimacy. But I know for me, when I'm really stressed, I'm like, don't talk to me, don't come near me, do not freaking touch me, you know, like, I just go inwards and have to deal with it. But when you're feeling more relaxed, you're more open to touching and feeling and talking and connecting, because you're not all up in your head or stressed out. And then when we're looking specifically at increasing intimacy with a partner, Ayurveda has these beautiful rituals, you know, and having romantic rituals can really encourage, like, and enhance romance and intimacy, such as, you know, massaging with aromatic oils, or even, you know, doing some mindfulness together. I mean, you've all heard of this Kama Sutra, right? That's part of Tantra as well. And aphrodisiac foods. Ayurveda identifies certain foods and herbs as aphrodisiacs that can stimulate desire and passion when we incorporate those into the diet. There's a lot of, as I mentioned, intimacy building practices like Tantra or other techniques that can deepen that emotional and physical connection between our partners. And of course, as I've mentioned many times, communication. But also with intimacy, it's not just with our partner, it is also with ourselves. And I believe it always starts with ourselves. So self-care is huge. And Ayurveda really has a really strong emphasis on self-care, such as like Abhyanga, that self oil massage, that's just connecting to yourself and coming into your own body and building a healthier relationship with yourself. Also having that self reflection, so regular practice in this, and introspection. It often can promote a deeper understanding of our desires and our boundaries, so we understand what our boundaries are, so we can articulate those, our needs, and enhancing our self-intimacy. And then I guess just balancing our energy, embracing more personal growth, like all of these things only amplify our intimacy with ourself or our partners. And of course, like spiritual connection, Ayurveda acknowledges that spiritual dimension of life, right? And engaging in spiritual practices and mindfulness, it can lead to a profound sense of self-intimacy and inner peace. And when we cultivate that, we can bring that into our relationships, and that really opens up that whole bucket of intimacy from a mind, body, spirit aspect.
Oh, that is just like, I've never heard from an Ayurveda perspective, how the mind-body connection really nurtures intimacy and how it builds it up. And as you were talking, and I was thinking about all the things that I've been, you know, the Ayurvedic lifestyle and you know, the self-abhyanga and how it builds the confidence and how that has transformed my, you know, intimacy in the bedroom. It has been such a profound effect on how I'm showing up mentally and physically. And it's just absolutely amazing. So I've loved everything that you've said, and it just makes sense, and it's just so true. So I'm looking forward to maybe exploring some Tantra stuff or some herbs, or, you know, spicing some things up.
Absolutely. And I even think just the way that it grounds you as a person, so that when you're out and about, like my husband is more of the touchy-feely type and the lovey-dovey sort of type. And I think my walls up around relationships, it took a long time for me to take my walls down, because prior to my husband now, I was in another relationship that wasn't a healthy relationship. And exactly how you explained, like, you go in and you're like confused, you think it's all bullshit, really, the way they're treating you, because you're like, this has to be all an act. Like, you know, I was in my first, you know, my first sort of like, what do you say, long-term serious relationship since I was 18. And so you don't really know better, right? You just assume that's relationships. And then you see over social media and hearing other unhappy married couples talk, and you just assume, well, that's just normal, marriage is crap, until you're in a really, really good one. But at the start, you're like, is this for real, or is this guy just like full of shit? And you know, like, I don't know what it is, like 16, 17 years later, I can finally let those walls down. And Ayurveda has really helped me to open myself up, like to not be such a sort of closed book protecting myself, but allow myself to enjoy the intimacy and to really be there and just show up in such a different way as a woman, you know? So I think, yeah, there's just so many profound ways. But Mel, we've been talking so much about communicating, right? And effective communication being the cornerstone for healthy relationships. So can you share your perspective on how to improve our communication skills and foster that deeper communication with our partner?
Oh, yes. And at all, everything that we spoke about today, Harmony, it all starts with that self-awareness, like really understanding our own communication style is really the first step, you know, and understanding ourselves. And this self-reflection really enables us to become better listeners and more empathetic and less reactive. So active listening really plays a crucial role. So it's not like how we communicating, it's like how are we listening. It's not what we're saying, it's also how we're listening plays a crucial role in communication. So by giving our full attention to our partner or the person that we're speaking to and validating their feelings, actually hearing and listening to what they're saying, we create a space for open and honest, you know, communication and conversation. So, you know, in the past, I want to share with you guys, in the past, you know, if something was upsetting me in my relationship or something he's done that's triggered me or pissed me off, you know, I would demand to have a conversation right here, right now. Let's sit at the table and let's just talk this shit out. And you can just really imagine how that conversation went. You know, I was coming from fiery pitta, ready to fight. I was in that fight, nervous system state of just fight. I was really coming from victim mode. You did this, you did that. How could you? I was tunnel vision. I was not active listening. I didn't give a crap what he was saying, but I wanted to have a conversation of me talking, you listen, you say sorry. I didn't want to validate his feelings, as his feelings did not need to be validated.
I'm laughing because this situation is so familiar for me as well. Oh, I love it.
You could just imagine how he was coming. He's like, okay, all right, I've been lucky to come to the table. He was shut down. He didn't want to say, he doesn't say anything. And I'm like, why aren't you saying? Like, why aren't you listening? He didn't want to speak. He was mentally unprepared for what was to this big explosion that I've just thrown. So, you know, I have gone and going on my healing journey and really understanding my triggers, really understanding, you know, what upsets me, putting in the boundaries, self-realization. You know, I can say now I've realized, okay, if something's pissed me off or something's triggered me or whatever the situation may be, I really need time for myself. I don't react. I stew on it. I still get angry. I still get triggered, but I know I need to get grounded, right? So I might go for a walk. I might do, you know, whatever that, wherever I am and however I can ground myself at that time, I will ground myself. And I'll say to him, look, babe, like later tonight, can we just have a conversation? Or tomorrow, is it okay if we have a conversation? So I'm booking in that meeting. I'm booking in that time because we've got to cultivate that sacred time for that communication, right? And then, like I said, this allows me to self-reflect and take responsibility in the situation. What have I played in this situation that I can take responsibility for? So all of a sudden I'm taking myself out of victim mode and going, I'm taking responsibility. How did I react? And an open invitation to go, where do I need to focus on growth? Right. So, and then when he comes, I'm in a calm state. He's in a calm state. I'm able to actively listen, like I'm wanting to hear his side of the story because I'm coming with love and compassion and going, why did he do this? Or you know, whatever the situation is, he's open-minded, he's ready to take in, you know, what I'm having to say, he's mentally prepared, and then he comes to the conversation with compassion and understanding, not like, oh, she's a crazy bitch just whinging again. And just by implementing this over the last, I would say, maybe 4 years, it has really, really transformed our relationship. Like, I can't even explain. And not only transformed our relationship, it's really transformed me and allowed me to heal and grow. So I no longer react to situations. I really respond. And one profound thing that I have learned in when I went to see psychologists that I use that has really helped me out of the victim mode and take responsibility as well is I never say, when I'm in the conversation now, I never say, you did this, you did that, blah, 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 and because of you. I always say, when this happened, this is how it made me feel. So then I'm inquiring of, wow, that's really how it made me feel. It's not because he's done something to me, but a situation has made me feel this way. Then I'm able to understand, what are the triggers that has made me feel this way? Why am I feeling this way? And then to be able to be in a safe space where he's open and receptive to hearing it, he's able to come at me with more compassion and understanding and holding that safe space so I'm able to heal, because we're not attacking each other. We don't have our guards up like, come on, let's fight. Who's going to win? It's like, okay, you're hurt, I'm hurt. How can we move through it? So, our communication has definitely, the last 4 years, has changed dramatically and made our relationship so much more stronger. And like you're talking about the mind-body connection in Ayurveda, our intimacy, then I feel safe, I feel loved, I feel seen. So I show up differently in the bedroom. And it's this, you know, that ripple effect.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It's amazing, the ripple effect, isn't it? And how much it impacts, your wider relationships.
That's crazy. And talking on the theme of relationships, you know, harmony, so many people really struggle with maintaining balance in their relationship, especially when, you know, this modern society, everything's fast paced and we're like two passing ships in the middle of the night. So how can Ayurveda's insight on balance be able to guide us in nurturing, you know, these harmonious connections and relationships?
Well, I guess, like you've been alluding to a lot, Mel, is Ayurveda really teaches us that balance in relationships mirrors the balance within ourselves. And that's why understanding our own individual constitution, as well as our partner's individual constitution, and also aligning our lifestyles with nature's rhythms, can really cultivate that equilibrium between that we need, right, for these connections. So I think, just on a practical level, when, yes, we are in a very, very fast-paced, busy world, and we can lose ourselves in that world. And by losing ourselves in that world, we're losing ourselves in our relationships. And so one big thing is to prioritize quality time together. Like you mentioned, you know, you set a time aside to have that discussion, not just like push it under the rug again and again and again until it explodes, like really prioritizing quality time, but also just quality time to have fun. Like, we're in a world filled with so many distractions. So we need to make intentional efforts to spend time with our loved ones, and to also create technology-free zones or times, like during meals or, yeah. So even just recently, actually, they only came when I was in Melbourne, but we used them last night for the first time. I got these pack of cards, and they're like conversation starters for families. And there's like hundreds and hundreds of cards, and we all pull one out, and then you read the question out loud, but then you answer it. And it's just really interesting, the way that we had so much fun doing that. And the kids were like, it was like their bedtime, but they're like, one more, can we pull one more? But it was just such a beautiful time to connect and to really prioritize that time together. As we've been mentioning, setting boundaries is huge. Like, Ayurveda really emphasizes the importance of setting boundaries to protect your energy. and applying this principle in your relationships by being really clear about your needs and limits and respecting each other's boundaries, and don't overextend ourselves, because often we can get lost in our relationships and the role, quote unquote, role that we play in that relationship, and we can form really unhealthy boundaries, and that's going to lead to unhealthy relationships. Mindful communication, we've been talking a lot about that. You've covered that, I think, just with what you just said then. Nourishing rituals we've spoken about, like all of these things are going to really impact our relationship. And yeah, digital detoxes, because sometimes, I mean, we've all seen it. You go out to a restaurant or a cafe and there's couples having lunch together and they're both scrolling on their phones, not even talking to each other, just their phones are more important. What's happening on Facebook or Instagram is more important than being there, looking into each other's eyes, connecting, asking each other those questions. It's like we're so drawn into our external influences, we forget what's really, really important. So yeah, I think there are a few of the things. And yeah, like from a trauma-informed perspective and self-awareness and healing, how can like some of your trauma-informed techniques contribute to building trust and creating safe spaces within our relationships? Because I feel like, you know, going back to talking about people just finally having the time to go to dinner together, but then going to dinner and being on their phones, it's like they don't have that beautiful, trusting relationship, and they're not creating a safe space, because as soon as they create that space, they're constantly drawn away from that relationship or that conversation. And, you know, again, it doesn't need to necessarily just be in a partnership, but even creating and building trust and safe spaces within your relationships at work, with colleagues, with family members. Like, how can we do that for those who are in relationships with people, whether that be family members or intimate relationships, that they don't really feel safe being themselves in? They don't feel safe speaking up. They don't feel safe articulating their boundaries. How can we start to create that safe space?
Yeah, and that is so important, because when we're looking from a trauma lens, you know, the key to be able to heal is safety. If we're not creating a space of safety, then our nervous system, our bodies, because that's where we store the unhealed trauma, the emotions, we're not going to feel safe to revisit it, to be able to heal it. So the first things first in when we're healing any kind of emotional wounds is really cultivating safety. So if we're not having safety within our relationships, if we're not having safety in our environment, we really need to start cultivating safety internally. So what can that mean? We can do things like closing our eyes, mindfulness, meditation, imagining ourselves at a beautiful, you know, waterfall or wherever, or a past loved one that gives us the that sense of safety, or going for a walk in nature where we feel safe to visit those emotions, to enable to heal. So, you know, building trust and creating safe spaces go hand in hand with healing trauma, you know, or emotional wounds. In order to be able to heal, we must cultivate safety, like I've been saying. And how we can do that is start becoming self-aware of the relationships that we're in, or the relationship, or our workplace relationships, or our friendship relationships. Start becoming aware, are they, like I spoke about earlier, are they relationships that are toxic, that are from a traumatic cycle wound, or are they healthy relationships? So start cultivating self-awareness of what's around you. And the more self-aware that we are, the more safe that we feel that we can start healing and start building that resilience for life situations or triggers. We start building that resilience. So yeah, start really taking note on relationships in your lives, workplaces, all those kind of relationships, and start clearing it out. right? Start clearing it out. So then you'll start really cultivating a life that you're surrounded by people that love you, that are healthy, that are there, that's going to hold the safe space. And when we work on our own healing, we naturally, it's going to spill over into our relationships, right? Like we said, it has that ripple effect. As we develop a deeper sense of safety within ourselves, this naturally extends to our relationship, creating an environment of trust. We don't want to be codependent. And that's another trait of trauma. We get so codependent that, oh, I'm only safe and I'm only going to be healed if if this person stays with me. No, that is there a sign like rah, rah, rah. You're in a codependency. This is a toxic relationship. Not saying he's hitting you or anything, but it's just a toxic relationship. We need to cultivate that safety internally. That's where we can foster these beautiful relationships of trust and safety. And when we're in a relationship, doesn't matter what relationship, both parties need to feel valued. They need to feel respected, and they need to feel that they can be their most authentic self and still be accepted and loved. And I want you to think about, I think about in my relationship, friendship relationship, those that don't accept me. And I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday. If I feel that I have to change myself a certain way, and I'm becoming very aware of this, I'm in a friendship relationship where, oh, I'm feeling like I'm having to bring the bogan mel out even more and swear even more than what I do, then I don't feel safe to be myself. Then I'm putting a mask on to pretend to be that person. And it's because I'm needing to feel loved. I don't feel worthy of their relationship. I don't want to be bogan mel all the time and swear. That's
bogan mel.
Right? And she does come out to play, but not like constantly, right? So we need to feel accepted. We need to feel like we can be our most authentic self and people are going to love us, right? So the relationship that I'm in, like he trusts that I'm able to have safety within me, right? So the relationship that I'm in, he trusts that I'm able to have safety within me to be able to heal myself. And when he's seen that, because before it was toxic, I was like, crazy bitch, going crazy. But then when I turned it around and went, I'm not relying on him for my healing. I rely on myself. I've created my own bubble, my own beautiful rituals where I can start healing myself. Then he's able then to create a safe environment for me. He's able to show up and be loving and compassionate and go, I'm like, oh babe, I'm communication. I'm starting to feel the overwhelm creep in. I need some time. He's like, okay, great. I'll cancel work on Saturday. I've got the kids. Go and have your own time. Mm. Right. And that's where you want to get to by choosing who you're having in your life, by choosing to be able to communicate that properly, by knowing what triggers you and feeling safe and okay to express that and go, I need time for myself. It's just setting those boundaries again, Harmony, and talking about setting boundaries. You know, sometimes it can be so challenging, especially like with our loved ones, because we get in our heads or we're in balance or we've got the trauma coming out. So do you have any tips for being able to approach boundary setting and conversations with compassion and with empathy?
Absolutely. And I think if you're someone who's listening to this and like, I really don't have a lot of boundaries in my relationships, I really need to, but I'm too afraid to, or it's just too hard to. I really think that, like, for I don't know how to put it in a nice way, but that's really sad. Like I really feel for you, because you're not being able to step into your higher self and you're not being able to like live your full potential in this beautiful life, and that's just the reality of it, right? And so if you can get the courage to have a conversation with whoever you need to have the conversation with in regards to boundaries, then that's the first step. So find that courage and then choose the right time and the right place, a suitable and private setting to have the conversation, and ensure that both you and your loved one or your colleague, whoever you're speaking to about this, are in a calm and receptive state of mind. And then you also want to start with self-reflection. So even before that conversation, take time to reflect on your own needs and your feelings and boundaries. So you've almost got it in dot point where you can really clearly go in and set those boundaries and articulate your needs. This self-awareness will help you communicate your boundaries a lot more effectively if you've already taken the time to self-reflect, write it all down and be really prepared with it. And you mentioned earlier, like in one of your examples, using like I statements, like I feel. So frame your boundaries using those I statements to express your feelings and needs without making the other person defensive. So for example, you could say like, I feel overwhelmed when dot, 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 instead of you always make me. Like you can see how that person would be more open to listening and to changing if they need to, if you're saying how you feel as opposed to putting all the blame on them. And then you want to be able to express empathy. So acknowledge the other person's feelings and perspective, allow them to have their perspective on the conversation as well, because they just may not be aware of it. And they might be like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it made you feel like that. Or they might be like, oh, in a conversation we had a year ago, you mentioned this, so that's why I do this. And, you know, it just might be about opening up different perspectives and understanding them, letting them know that you understand where they're coming from and that your boundaries are about taking care of yourself, not rejecting them. So you're not making it like that personal where you're attacking them for anything. And also active listening is a huge form of communication in its own right. So encourage that open dialogue by actively listening to their responses and then give them the space to share their thoughts and feelings without interruption, show empathy towards their needs and their boundaries as well, because it's a chance for them also to be able to articulate their boundaries. And if you meet eye to eye on the boundaries, and you can have like this beautiful, wonderful relationship and you know exactly where each other stands. If you don't see eye to eye on boundaries, which can happen, then that's a conversation that really needs to be had. Like that can also make and break your relationship for the better. You may need to sometimes find that middle ground, offer compromise. That's why having these conversations are so important for both parties, and use obviously positive language to keep the conversation really positive. And then once you've articulated those boundaries, you want to set really clear consequences, and you're doing this like in a really loving way. So in some cases, it's necessary to establish consequences if boundaries are repeatedly crossed. Like if you've had a partner who was unfaithful and you've said like, you know, maybe you got back together with them, you're like, but that is the last time. And you set out some really clear, fair consequences and communicate those. If that boundary has then been crossed again, you want to follow through with that, and you want to have these clear consequences set. If that had happened, they'd been unfaithful and you're like, I don't want to talk about it, let's just move on, like it doesn't do anyone any good, then they go and do that again, you haven't ever set clear consequences for that boundary. Right? Even though they're in the wrong, you need to be able to set these clear consequences. I do it with my children all of the time. Like, and I follow through on those consequences. So if they cross that boundary, they know that I will follow through and they have respect for that. Whereas their dad doesn't follow through very well the boundaries he sets a lot of the time. And they do have him wrapped around their little finger a little bit more because they know, like, oh, dad'll say it, but he won't actually do it. You know, you want to be really strong with that. And of course, seek support if you need. Like if you need help with setting boundaries, communicating those boundaries to your partner, if your partner's not as receptive as the way we've been making out our partners to be, then you may need professional guidance, a therapist, a counselor, definitely people who are professionals in relationship counseling. That is not us. We're just two cents worth. But to wind it up, Mel, I know you've shared so many personal stories, but do you have any other stories that would wind up this whole conversation to illustrate the transformative potentials of Ayurveda and trauma-informed practices in your relationships?
Oh, it has been absolutely huge and profound. And, you know, all in all, like, I think the start of the transformation to better relationship, just say with my partner, and this has had a ripple effect with my kids and those around me, was acknowledging that I needed to put myself first, acknowledging that things are not okay, because I was finally in a healthy relationship. So that mirror, I was like the crazy one, you know. Mm-hmm. So I started sinking in with the circadian rhythm. You know, I woke up when the sun rose, not by choice, but because I was breastfeeding, and that's the time that she woke up to feed. And I had a baby and two toddlers, and the only time that I had for myself was after the 4 o'clock breastfeed. 4:30, I went for a walk. I went for a 4K walk, connected with myself, connected with nature, cried, did all the things, come back, worked out. So got that movement in. I started eating breakfast. And then I was ready, like, even though I hardly had no sleep with the baby and toddlers, but I had a lot more energy. I was able then from that point to do my healing work. I had the time, and that was only because I went to bed early and started waking up. It's the most smallest shift that allowed me to have the energy and capacity and resilience to go into my healing. And from there, you know, I bring in mindfulness. I've changed my dietary. I've gone into understanding my emotion, my triggers, how to set my boundaries, how to communicate, all the things that we've been talking. I've done all that. I wasn't like, okay, great, here I am, and I've got a great relationship. You know, it never started out like that. So if you're in that point, like Harmony said, if you're in that point where you lack putting in those boundaries, just take the one easiest step. You know, we've had many years of emotional wounds and traumas and imbalances. It's going to take time to heal that and to get back into balance. So what is the one thing you can do? Self-inquire, journal, go for a walk, eat better, exercise better, you know, just self-inquire. And by doing this, by me focusing on myself, and I know how many you said it all starts within, because it all starts within any relationship. By focusing on myself, this has given my partner the invitation to feel safe to do his own healing, to adapt to a new lifestyle. So he wakes up early now. He goes to bed early now. We're able to have that time, that sacred time in the morning, to have conversation, and at night to have these conversations. He's able to communicate clearer with me now. He has more patience with me now, probably because I have more patience with myself. He's more patient with the kids. You know, he's able to be aware and how to manage his stresses and what are his triggers and his coping mechanisms. So it's not like we're great, we're all healed. We're forever working on ourselves. We're forever, you know, going through challenges personally and in our relationships, but we have the key foundations to be able to build. Walk away when things are heated, when the fire, you know, the pit is imbalanced. Come back and set a time to be able to communicate better once we've had the reflection. So it's a forever journey, building relationships, working on yourself, healing yourself, bringing yourself back into balance. But if we can go back into the key principles of Ayurveda and the wisdom of Ayurveda and understanding ourselves and what we can do, the simplest things to bring ourselves back into balance on our healing journey, it's going to have a huge impact. But it starts with you wanting it. It starts with you making a choice to be able to do that. And one thing before I wrap it up is to know that in any relationship that you're in, is having the understanding that you're not there to fix anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, no one is there to fix you. You're there just to hold space with love and compassion. And sometimes just holding space with love and compassion makes you go in and do the inner work to be able to show up with more love, to be able to show up with more compassion, and trust that that person can do their own healing if you show up for yourself. And that's what I want to leave you guys with, wrap that up with that question.
I think that was a beautiful wrap up, Mel. And we've probably gone well over time like we always do.
I know.
we love to have a chat about these things, and we're so grateful that you guys are joining us, whether you're in the Facebook group or listening by the podcast. We really appreciate you guys, and hopefully you're getting something out of these episodes. If you would love to study Ayurveda and women's health for yourself, please reach out. We do have enrollment open for the Ayurveda Alchemist program, and I also have a free training on how to step into your higher self using my higher self methodology. That will be in the show notes, and the beautiful Mel also has a training as well, a free training for you guys.
Yep, it's the three pillars on how to heal trauma, and it's got a beautiful workbook that will support you through those, and a 20-minute gorgeous activation to connect into your soul essence as well. So if you head over to my Instagram at I am Melissa Alves, you'll be able to, it's just in the link there. So go into the link in the bio and you'll be able to access that.
Amazing. And if you want to come to any of our retreats or events that we're holding, please reach out and we will send you all of the details.
Yay. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health, or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.